Thank you, Mr. Moody. Good afternoon to everyone. It's interesting how sermonettes and sermons sometimes tie together. Mr. Wasik talked about how we're to become like God, and the things that we are to do in our lives to strive for that. And today I want to bring you a little bit about God, and something that I know that in my life I don't appreciate enough, and that's the love that God has for mankind and what He's doing for us. Because many times, or many places in the Scripture, it talks about God's love. And He's done all that we see and that is around us, for all humanity. Let's begin in Romans, the first chapter, to take a look at God's love toward mankind and the things that He's doing for it. Romans 1 and verse 19. Because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. God's love toward mankind started with this creation. Let's go back to Genesis and take a look at that creation. A glimpse of it. I don't have time to go through the whole thing, but in Genesis, the first chapter, it goes through the creation of this world, of this earth, and everything that is set forward. The beginning of the day, the night, talks about the earth being parted in the water, talks about the creation of the fish, of the sea, and the beasts of the land. Let's go to verse 26 of the first chapter of Genesis, and it says, Then God said, Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in His own image. In the image of God, He created him, male and female. He has created them. We see that God made this creation for mankind, and He gave it dominion, man dominion over it. It's interesting, if you take a look at the creation, we're all different here in this room. We look different. We have different tastes. We have different thoughts. We have different things that we like. God created each of us as an individual. He gave us individual opportunities. We're all raised in different ways. We all have different things that we come to like or that we learn. That we have different knowledge than other people have. God didn't just create one stamp that was like Him. And we all look like Him in an image, but we all don't look exactly like Christ, like just as we don't all exactly look like each other here in this room. But God in His creation made things for us. He made differences for us. I know that when I sit down at dinner, I'll order something totally different than my wife will order because she likes different things. She has different tastes than I have in some of the food that we eat. Whereas I also have. And when you sit down at a restaurant with other people, each one has an opportunity to order what they like. It's not always the same thing that we all like, that we come to like. There are certain foods and flavors and things that we really like that are different than someone else would like. And yet God has created all this for a purpose. And as long as we stay in His guidelines and the laws that He's laid out, they're good and they're right. And He's made those for us. And in God's love, he's done all that. You know, it's interesting, if God was to ask us if we really appreciated him, if we knew exactly what he's done for us, where would you turn? Job, let's go to Job, the 38th chapter. Job actually talked, or God talked to Job and asked him some questions. And he talked about his creation just a little bit. Let's begin with verse 4, the 38th chapter of Job. It says, Job, where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Tell me if you have understanding. Who determined its measurements? Surely you know. Or who stretched the line upon it? To what were its foundations fastened? Or who laid its cornerstone? When the morning stars sang together, and all the sons of God shouted for glory, where were you? Or who shut in the sea with its doors when it burst forth and issued from the womb? When I made the clouds its garment and thick darkness its swaddling band, when I fixed my limit for it and set bars and doors, when I said, this far you shall come, but no further, and here your proud ways must stop. He talked about his creation. God laid the foundations of this earth before any of us were, before mankind was created and given there. He laid the foundations of it. He had a purpose. And that purpose was going to end with us, giving us the opportunity to be like him. God also knew that we could not do that on our own. We know that in the Garden of Eden, that Adam and Eve ate of the tree of good and evil. Sin was introduced into the world. And yet, in God's plan, he knew that that was going to happen. And he purposed from the very beginning, when he laid the foundations of this earth and the heavens and the galaxies that we're still finding in this universe, as he laid those out, he also knew and purposed for mankind that his son, Jesus Christ, would also have to come and be a sacrifice. And God did that in his love. Let's go to John, the 3rd chapter. John, the 3rd chapter, and let's begin with verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whomever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Jesus Christ's sacrifice had to be made. Let's go back to 1 Peter, the 1st chapter. And we want to start with verse 17. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when such a voice came to him from the excellent glory. This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And we heard this voice which came from heaven when we were with him on the holy mountain. Peter talking about when he saw Christ coming down from heaven. We also have a prophetic word made more sure, which you do well to heed in light and shines. I'm in 2 Peter. I'm going, this doesn't sound right either. go to 1 Peter. I should go to 1 Peter. I see you're already there. In verse 17. And if you call on the Father, who without partiality judges according to each one's work, conduct yourselves throughout the time of your sojourning here in fear, knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. He indeed was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who through him believe in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. Christ's sacrifice was before the foundation of this earth was laid. His plan to be able to create God beings, the love that God shows to us, started way back before this work or this earth was actually laid out to become part of his plan, before its creation. God the Father had to send his Son so that the whole world could be saved, that that one sacrifice would cover all sins. You know, as we look at God's love, let's take a look in our own lives. Many of us have children. Many of us have had parents. We've had some that have passed away. We know what it is to love someone and then to lose someone. And yet we are here but for a short period of time, a very short period of time. And yet here was God the Father and Jesus Christ, or the Word of the Logos, who was to become Jesus Christ, that have always been together for eternity, something that you and I cannot conceive in our minds because we're limited to time and space. And yet here are two beings of the God family that were together forever, and one of them said, I will be the sacrifice, and showed love through that, and the other gave up their son. Now, for us to go out and to lay a life of a son or a daughter or someone on the line is inconceivable for us. At least it is for myself, that I would have to give up one of my children. Now, I could give up my life for one of them, but I don't know that I could give their life up for someone else. You know, it's a different love. It's a different type of bond that we have. So, you know, you take a look at the people in that airplane that went down out of Philadelphia when it was hijacked, and they realized that they were going to die. And they took out their lives to save lives of others. But they didn't have to, I mean, and they had a hope that they would be able to overcome the hijackers. There was actually an individual on that plane that could have flown it. But yet, we'll do a sacrifice with ourselves, and that's what Christ did. He laid out his life in that sacrifice. But then his Father had to give that up too. And that's a relationship, something that you and I understand in a physical sense, because we're a part of God's creation, and this is part of the things that we learn in our lifespan. But yet he gave that up for us, and he gave up his son so that we could live, so that we could be a part of his family and a future. God's love is great, and it extends farther than we, I think, truly can understand. Let's go to Colossians, the first chapter. There's only one book here. I should be able to find it. Colossians 1, and let's begin with verse 12. Giving thanks to the Father, who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of the Son of His love, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. He is in the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. Talking of Jesus Christ. For by Him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created through Him and for Him, and He is before all things, and in Him all things consist. And He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He may have preeminence. We see that Jesus Christ, that the love He showed and that God showed, actually gave up Jesus Christ, who created all things. He laid the foundations of this world. All things were that we see and that we don't see were created through Him. Verse 19. For it pleased the Father that in Him all the fullness should dwell, and by Him to reconcile all things to Himself, by Him, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of His cross. And you, who once were alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now He has reconciled in the body of His flesh through death to present you holy and blameless and irreproachable in His sight. The sacrifice that Christ made, God giving up His Son, showing His love toward us, was so that you and I can be like Christ. God loves us by taking care of us also. He wants to make sure that we become His sons. Let's go to Romans, the 8th chapter. Romans 8 and verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for your sake we have killed all day long, we are accounting as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. God tells us that the love that He has for us is inseparable. Nobody can take it away from us. There's no principality or power. The things that we see on this earth, the individuals, the governments, nothing can take away the promise that God has given to us. And nothing can separate us from Him. Let's go to Hebrews, the 13th chapter. Hebrews 13 and verse 5. Let your conduct be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, I will not fear. What can man do to me? God says that there's nothing mankind can do to us as individuals that can take away what he has for us in heaven. That we're to fear not this death, the physical death, but the death of the soul that is in God's hands. God says that he will take care of us through all things. Let's go to Matthew, the 6th chapter. God hasn't promised every one of us wealth and prosperity, fame, but he has said that he will take care of our needs, the needs that will help us to bring us to the point of being a son of God. Verse 8 of Matthew 6, therefore do not be like them, for your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask him. And then he goes into what we call the Lord's Prayer and teaches us how to pray for the things that we have need of. But he knows the things that we need in our life before we even ask. Let's drop down to verse 25. Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on it. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which if you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about the clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And he goes through and he shows that God will take care of us. He will provide for us. But those are things that we don't have to worry about, that he's always going to do for us. Now, I'm not saying that you should quit your jobs and go out and sit on the street and that he's going to provide for you. We know that we're to be productive, we're to look ahead, we're to put away for our children. There's many scriptures that we can go to and see that we are to be productive with our lives. But the very fact that God in heaven looks out for us, he also takes care of us. And he provides us with the things that we need, the jobs that we have. And we need to remember that and be thankful for that. Verse 32, for after these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. We're to look forward to the things that God loves, and he's looking forward to the kingdom, and we are too. We're to look forward to that kingdom and realize that this is only a temporary process that we're going through. And God, through his love, will provide for us and our needs and for our families. Let's go to 2 Thessalonians. Chapter 3. Second book of Thessalonians, chapter 3. And verse 1. Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified just as it is with you, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for not all have faith. Paul asking for prayers as he was leaving the area, asking that they would protect him. In verse 3, "But the Lord is faithful, who will establish you and guard you from the evil one." He was telling them that God in heaven, who is faithful, will also guard them from Satan. "And we have confidence in the Lord concerning you, both that you do and will do the things we have commanded you." He was leaving, and he knew that they had taken his instructions, and he'd asked God the Father to guard against them, to guard them from Satan. Peter talks about the fact that if we seek God, Satan will flee from us. God looks out for each one of us. He keeps us from Satan, and he secured us in his kingdom. Let's go to John, the 10th chapter. John 10 and verse 27. Verse 27 of John 10. "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the hand of the Father. I and my Father are one." We see that once God has called us and claimed us for his own, that in his love, nothing can take that away. He's given us that eternal life. It's a gift from him. The only one that can disqualify us is ourselves, if we let ourselves become weak and we fall away. But God, once he's called us and taken us into his family, it's assured that we are there. And nothing, not even Satan, can come between us and God. Satan can tempt us and lay snares out for us, but God has said it's secure, it's there, that if we overcome, it's always there. Let's go back to 2 Thessalonians, the second chapter this time. As he talks about the fact that nothing can come between us and him. Second Thessalonians 2, verse 13. "But we are bound to give thanks to God always for you." Here he was thanking God for the brethren that was there, because God from the beginning chose you through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth, to which he called you by our gospel for the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which you were taught, whether by word or by epistle. Now may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and our God and Father, who has loved us and given us everlasting consolation and good hope by grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. Here he's admonishing to stay fast, to hold fast to the traditions that we've been taught. And as long as we do that, our place in God's family is secure. It's there. It's not going to leave. God, through his love, has prepared and he keeps us. Let's go to 2 Timothy, a couple books over, to the second chapter. And verse 18. "Who have strayed concerning the truth, saying the resurrection is already past, and they overthrow the faith of some, talking about some hypocrisy that was going through the church at that time. Verse 19, he says, "Nevertheless, the solid foundation of God stands, having this seal, the Lord knows those who are His, and let everyone whose name, the name of Christ, depart from iniquity." We see that God knows those that are who are His, that it's in the foundation, and it's solid. What God has spoken is there, and it's there for us as long as we continue to put sin out of our lives. It's secure for us once God has called us. You know, it's interesting because not all mankind has been called at this time. And God, in His love and mercy, has also shielded the majority of this world. He has just chosen a few at this time. And of course, they will be the first fruits. They will be the kings and the priests in the kingdom of God that will serve with Him. Those that He calls out now, He's given special opportunity for. So this love of God that He has shown for us, what should it be in us? Mr. Wasik touched on it a bit, and I'd like to touch on a couple scriptures also. 1 John 4. verse 7. "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and anyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. In this the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent His only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through Him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought to love one another." God so loved us from the beginning of this world, before we were even born, the things that He laid out, the planet that we live on, to the very sacrifice of His Son, and to our calling, all the things that He's done for us show love. And that's how He knows whose are His, is the love that we have in us. Verse 12, "No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us, and His love has been perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in Him, and He in us, because He has given us of His Spirit, and that we have seen and testify that the Father has sent the Son as Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him, and He is in God. And we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God, and God in him." We see that God loved this world, and He gave His only begotten Son. And that's how we show our love toward God, too, is by loving the brethren that He has called. By overlooking our differences, by being able to get along with each other. You know, we need God. God does not need us. And we need each other. And this is how we show that we are His. Let's go back to the third chapter of 1 John and begin with verse 1. "Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us because it did not know him. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed that we shall be. But we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. We do not even comprehend the love that God has given to us, especially in the fact that we're going to be a son of God, just like Jesus Christ. And it talks about here that we cannot even really truly comprehend what that is all about until we see him in his glory. And of course, we know that we too need to be in that glorified state to be able to see Christ in his glory. And that's what we are to become, a brother to Christ and a son of God. And God has done all of this to produce sons in his likeness. Let's go to Romans, the 8th chapter. Romans 8, beginning in verse 18. For I consider that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly awaits for the revealing of the sons of God. We see that God, through his creation, is producing sons. And this is what all of this is for. The love that he is extending to us now, that we can live in this world, that we can go about our own lives, the things that we learn, that he's called us out, and that he's given us knowledge of him and his love, and the things that we need to do as Christians, those are things that he set in motion before the foundation of this world or earth was laid. Let's go to Titus, the 3rd chapter. Titus 3 and verse 4. But when the kindness and the love of God, our Savior, toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit. It's not what we've done to gain this, but it's the love that God has shown to us, the fact that Christ came and was sacrificed. Verse 6, whom he poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior, that having been justified by his grace, we should become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. This is a faithful saying, and these things I want you to affirm constantly, that those who have believed in God should be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable to men. God has given us the opportunity, through his love, to become as he is, as his son, Jesus Christ, a part of the God family. Brethren, you and I have been given an opportunity because of God's love. And in the kingdom, more people will be called. And we know during the 100-year period of time and the white throne judgment, when there the 100 years, when the rest of mankind that doesn't know about God or his calling will also be given an opportunity to know God and to see the love that he has given to all mankind, and so that they can comprehend it, so they can understand who and what God is and what God is about. That is something that mankind is missing at this time in this age. I'd like to close by turning to Ephesians, the 3rd chapter. And go to verse 14 of the third chapter of Ephesians. For this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to his riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. He's talking about the very fact that it's only through God's Holy Spirit in us that we can comprehend the things and the glory of God and His love, and that of Christ being in us. And it talks about the height, the length, the depth, and the width. These are things that this world does not understand at this time. But God, through His love and His mercy, has given that to you and to I at this present time. God laid the foundations of this world. In it, He had a plan for all mankind. That is what we're doing here on this earth. And that's the whole purpose at this time that we know of, is that we are to become heirs and sons of God. And He's done this for all mankind from the very foundation of this earth. And He's given us opportunity to become a son of God. And this is through His love for us. God is love. He's total love. And I know that it's hard for us as humans to comprehend that we love individuals. It's something that we learn to do with our children and our families and our parents and different things like that. But yet we need to learn to love God also the way that He has loved us and to appreciate that love for us.